hearts together in prayer. We're delighted to have Dr. Ian Brown with us this morning, Minister of Mars Memorial. We're going to ask Brother Ian if you'd come to the pulpit here and lead us in prayer, please. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we call upon thy name this Sabbath morning. We thank thee that even as we've been singing in this psalm, we have the ups and downs of life. The reality is being mentioned. And David is talking about being distressed, troubled on every side, various items happening that were causing him confusion. Yet we thank thee that he found, as we always can, the way out. And in that distress and confusion, he called upon the Lord. And the Lord didn't just deal on a level with him, but he thought about abundance and bountiful dealing in that great deliverance. And Father, we think of the other words that the psalmist would have mentioned when he said that from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And Father, we know that round about us every day we can find those experiences, whether it be in bereavement or some personal sorrow or great trial that comes in across our path. And we figuratively talk about being at the end of our tether, the end of the earth, and not only circumstances around us being unconducive to a quiet spirit and a joyful attitude, but we have that feeling of crushing within. Our heart, he said, is overwhelmed. But Lord, we thank thee that the answer is always, I cried unto thee. And he's telling us how he cried, lead me unto the rock that is higher than I. And Father, we pray for that higher point of view. If there be somebody in the meeting today and they're carrying a heavy burden, they're navigating difficult circumstances, they've been called to walk the road of sorrow and trial and even fear and anxiety, Lord, we pray that thou wilt help them to get the higher view, that they will be led onto that higher ground, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And from that different perspective, then we can see things as they really are and get a view that is more akin to the view that God sees. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast ordered all of our way, that thou hast ordered by that everlasting covenant all things for us. And they are sure. And Lord, we will come before thee today and we pray that thou wilt still our hearts in thy presence, that thou wilt help us to concentrate on thee as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the one whom in that triune relationship is always looking out for us. We thank thee, Lord, for the great plan of the Father in eternity. We rejoice for the voluntary aspect of the Son who said that he would come and condescend to this earth. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And we thank thee how he went all the way to Calvary on our behalf, that he shed his lifeblood for our redemption, that he made a perfect offering on that altar of Calvary, that satisfied God. And we thank thee, Lord, for the satisfaction being shown, even in the fluttering down from heaven of that grand receipt when he rose from the dead, a victor in triumph over the grave, over the devil, over the bondage and the tyranny and the evil of sin. And we thank thee that, as a hymn writer said, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. And so we can lift our hallelujahs and proclaim that Christ arose. And we praise thee that all of that work accomplished on Calvary is applied to us day by day by the powerful influence of God the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that I will breathe upon our hearts today, that I will lift up our spirits today, that I will concentrate our eyes and our energies on Christ, because we know that that is the Spirit's work, that is his ministry, that's what he came to earth and works upon our hearts to do. He will take of mine, Jesus said, and he will show it unto you. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt, as the Spirit of truth, and the spirit of grace and of supplications that I will take of Christ and show it unto us today. Bless thy servant, we pray, as he preaches unto our hearts. We pray that thy hand will be upon him this morning in the ministry of thy word that I would undertake for him. And even as he's approaching the final days of ministry in this house, we pray that these will be truly blessed occasions, memorable moments, time when thy spirit draws near and pours out the blessings of Calvary upon this people. Be with everyone that is gathered here, all the families that are represented in this congregation. We pray that I will lift them up in everlasting arms. We pray that I will cradle them in thy love and in thy care and in thy compassion. And if they are travelling, as we thought at the beginning today in this opening psalm, if they're travelling the pathway of sorrow, then we find thee that we read in thy word that in his love and in his pity that he redeemed them and he bore them and he carried them all the days of old. And may we be conscious today of the carrying by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt lead us to that expected and to that blessed end. Come and speak the word of salvation to those that are outside of Christ. Give the word of reclamation to those that are backslidden and not enjoying God's best, far from it, at this moment in time. And for thy people today, we ask for encouragement, and we pray for challenge, and we ask for comfort through the word. And Lord, right over Ballygowan and right over the environs around this area, that I will come with the power of thy blessing, and that I will turn the tide and push back the devil and push back sin and send us a revival from thy presence that will magnify thy name, that will transform the situation around us, and that will bring glory unto thy person. And may there be honour in the church of Christ again, and may sinners look to it as being the ones who have the answer, the only solution to my need, and may they come and find it in the preaching of the glorious gospel of the blessed God. We pray in Jesus' name, and look for thy presence upon us in the remainder of this meeting. For thy glory and for our good we pray. Amen.
Good to have Dr. Brown and his wife Gillian with us this morning, and may the Lord bless them as they worship with us. We're singing together the words of the hymn 423. It's on the screen or in your book. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. 423. We'll stand after the introduction.
I'm
boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. We've been looking at how the walls were built, and of course 52 days. Boys and girls, you can always think of 52 weeks, and in 52 days the walls were built. And of course next week, boys and girls, we have our quiz and our goodie bag, so you have to remember all of these things. This goodie bag will come out next Sunday after the service, so boys and girls, you have to answer all of the questions that we have for you next week. Now, boys and girls, we discover that the leaders made their homes in Jerusalem. We're coming toward the end of the story of Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah. And of course, 1 in 10 of the families living outside the city did the same. And Nehemiah put his brother Hanani in charge of all of this work. Others were put in charge of guarding the gates and giving praise to God in the temple. And so God was to be praised, boys and girls, for all he had done for his people. We have to remember to give thanks unto the Lord, boys and girls, for his goodness. And then, of course, there was the dedication of the city with thanks and with praise. The Bible tells us that they all sang and gave praise to God and brought their gifts to worship him. So boys and girls, as we come to God's house, we come to praise the Lord. We join in the singing of praise to the name of the Lord. And we bring our gifts, our offerings, and we put them into the house of the Lord. We worship the Lord. And this is all part of worship, not only the reading of the Bible. We heard about that earlier, how the Bible was read, the law was read. At that time, the people listened. And from morning until midday, the reading of the law, they gave thanks to God, they praised the Lord, they worshiped the Lord. That's what we do in God's house, boys and girls. And so we discover that Nehemiah continued to lead the people of God. He was God's man. He was God's servant. He was a man with a burden. He was a man with a vision. He was a man who was broken over the state of Jerusalem and what had happened over those years. But now he discovers that Eliashib had brought Tobiah into the temple. And you know, boys and girls, as we look back on this story, we discover that Tobiah was one of the enemies, along with Sanballat and Gershom the Arabian. He was one of the leading opponents of God's work. But now, Eliashib, the high priest, has brought Tobiah into the temple. Nehemiah immediately put him out, boys and girls, and had the temple cleansed. He also stopped the merchants coming into the city on the Sabbath day to trade. And so there was no desecration of the Sabbath day. Boys and girls, we need to remember this is God's day. We worship God on this day. While there are works of necessity that people have to do, yet it is set aside primarily for the worship and honor of God. And so even then, in the Old Testament, Nehemiah sought to honor the Lord in this way. He wanted the people to love the Lord. He wanted the people to obey the Lord. Here we see him throwing this man out of the temple, Tobiah, putting him out, boys and girls, purifying the house of God. And then he wanted God to be glorified. He wanted the people to be strong in the Word of God and in the ways of the Lord. And that's what God wants for you, boys and girls. If you know him as your Savior, he wants you to live for him. He wants you to obey him. He wants you to serve him. That's what Nehemiah wanted the people of his day, the people of God, to do. Will you do that, boys and girls, if you love the Lord? And if you don't love the Lord, well, today that you will give your heart, that you will give your life to him and trust him as your Savior. Maybe you'll get a little chance to read over Nehemiah. We'll run quickly through some of the things next Sunday before we have our quiz. and then we'll give you an opportunity to answer, to get into the goodie bag if you've answered the questions correctly next Sunday morning. And we're going to sing a little chorus, boys and girls, and you can join in. Rolled Away, we'll sing it through twice and do the actions as we sing it through twice. The words are on the screen. Turning to the Word of God this morning in the second book of the Bible, book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, beginning our reading at the opening verse. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And I will not, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, You're a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went up out of unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I find grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Amen. Ending our reading there, verse 15, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired inerrant and infallible word. Could we welcome you all this morning to the Lord's house? If you're visiting with us, we give you a special welcome. If you're listening in to the service online, we give you a welcome as well. There are baskets at the door for your offerings as the Lord has led you to give to his work. Please remember that. Tonight, our gospel evening service at 7. And tonight we will be joined in our evening service by the members of the Royal Black Preceptory, Saintfield District, will join us for our evening service at 7. Our sister Vivian McCoy will minister in song, and I will bring the Lord's Word. There'll be a season of prayer in the upstairs prayer meeting at prayer room at 6:30. There will be a separate basket tonight for a tiring offering for one of the charities supported by the Royal Black Institution. Keep that in mind as well for this evening. The Bible study and prayer meeting on Tuesday night will be in the church, as will be the following week, which is the Monday night for that week, as we've already announced. Will be in the church on those two nights at 8 p.m. We're considering again the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and this is the final study in that fourth chapter this Tuesday evening. We appreciate your attendance at the time of prayer on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, family worship at 11:30, and the time around the Lord's table will follow. For all who know the Lord, we would like, if possible, that if all of God's people who are able at all to meet with us around the Lord's table next Lord's Day, please remember that. Any desiring communicant membership, please mention this to us, as you could. This could be addressed before next Lord's Day. Remembering, as Session have already indicated, only communicant members will have a vote in the election of a new minister. Gospel evening service next Lord's Day, and again, I'll be the preacher at these services and the times of prayer beforehand. Remember all who are sick at this time, especially remember our dear sister Mrs. Bennison in hospital. Remember this lady, Pamela Nelson, we've been visiting. Do pray for Pamela, who's going through treatments, that the Lord's hand will be upon her. It's good to see Drew out with us this morning. Remember Drew and his sorrow, the loss of his wife, and I know he'd want me to say a word of appreciation to all of you who came on Thursday to the funeral, to those who called at the house, to those who have sent their condolences to him. Continue to remember Drew and his family in your prayers at this time. And then for the children's meeting and parent and toddlers, Awana and Youth Reach, all of the various strands of the work, please do remember that. If you can help in any way, do please speak to any of the leaders or a member of Session or inter-moderator Reverend Murray. Your help will be greatly appreciated. The Sunday school will resume on Lord's Day, the 11th of September at 10 a.m. As we've already mentioned, the Bible study and prayer meeting next week, not this week, next week will be on Monday the 29th of August instead of the Tuesday, again at 8 p.m. in the church here. The little cards there just announcing our final services, if you want to take them and make those meetings known, that would be appreciated. Brother James has an announcement he's going to make now, please.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Just a couple of announcements. One directly to the ladies for this morning. I did put out a message on the WhatsApp site yesterday. But if you could meet with us directly after the morning service just down here in the middle of the church, we need to discuss catering arrangements for the supper for Sunday evening, the 4th of September. So ladies, it's all hands on deck. There'll be no teams or anything on this occasion. And we do need your help, so if you could assist, can you meet with us, please, immediately after the service this morning. Next Sunday, we will be making a fuller announcement about the dinner, about the hotel, arrival times, etc. So just to give you advance notice on that, maybe some of you are asking questions, we'll give those details in full next Sunday morning and give you an announcement about that. Thank you, Mr. Smiley.
Thank you, James. We're going to join in the singing of another hymn before we come to God's Word, number 432, be on the screen or in your book. Down in the valley with my Saviour I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. We'll stand after the introduction and sing together. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Their Bible's open there. Let us seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father, we come now to Thee and to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given must and shall prevail. Give prevailing words, we pray, in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak this morning from the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, especially the opening verses of this chapter. The subject today is how to enjoy the presence of God. How to enjoy the presence of God. Years ago, I remember a brother in Christ, and almost every time I met him, he would ask the question, are you enjoying the presence of Christ? Or similarly, are you enjoying the Lord? I knew that he was. But I'm not so sure when he asked me, I could always honestly say that I was. But the longer I live, the more I read God's Word and study its contents, the more I realize that the bottom line, that the highest good, the most wonderful fulfillment, to know God intimately
And to enjoy Him personally is to enjoy the presence of the Lord. And can I ask you a question this morning? Do you know God personally? I'm not asking you, do you know about Him? Well, you might know who the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is, but not know Him personally. You might know who a leading businessman is, but you may not know Him personally. I'm asking you this morning, do you know God personally? Is He today, at this very moment, in your heart, in your life, a bright, a living, a vital reality? If so, then you know today the deepest pleasure. You have fulfilled the deepest need. You have attained that for which you were created, to know God personally. Because you see, worship is enjoying the presence of God. You need nothing more. And I put it to you and suggest to you today, you should settle for nothing less. There are many believers who do not know the conscious presence of God in their lives. Oh, they show up for church, and that's good. They sing the psalms and hymns. They can muster an amen at the end of a prayer, at the end of the service. But there's deadness. There's that blindness. There's a void in their life. And here, in Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 to 3, are some of the most frightening words in the Word of God. Especially in verse 3 there, where God is saying to His people that He is not going up with them. Notice the words. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. The situation was that Israel, God's own people, were there in the wilderness. They'd been given a covenant. They'd been given a promise. They were heading toward the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And in the middle of that journey, they sinned terribly against God. And here God is saying that He will not go up with them. How frightening. To have success, to have possessions, to have protection, but not to have the presence of God. God says in verse 2, I'll give you an angel to take you in, but I'm not going with you. Don't settle for success without the Lord. It has been well said, whatever a man does without God, he will either fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. Let me repeat that. Whatever a man does without God, he will either fail miserably or succeed even more miserably. Look at the background here, the context, the wider context of this. Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle of the congregation. When Moses was gone, Aaron, his brother, led the people into revolt against God. You can read of that in Exodus 32. The golden calf was made, and they worshipped it. And Moses came down from the mountain, and he saw their idolatry and their immorality. And he was so grieved that he takes the Ten Commandments and casts them to the ground and breaks the tablets of stone. And then he takes the golden calf that they had made and has it ground into powder and mixes that powder with water and makes the people drink of it. And their greatest delight had become their greatest displeasure. The Bible tells us there in that chapter 32 and verse 28, the 3,000 were slain and put to death. Moses intercedes before the Lord for the people. He's praying, he's interceding. He's putting himself in the place of these people. And after this intercession, we come here to the 33rd chapter of these verses. But God is saying, and I repeat it this morning, I will not go up in the midst of thee. Folks, let me tell you something today, brother and sister in Christ. Don't settle for a deal like that. Don't settle for protection and for provision, even for the promised land, without the presence of the Lord. Just don't do it. I'm telling you, when you have the presence of God, you need nothing more. And you should settle for nothing less. How many of you would honestly say, I do have the presence of God in my life? Don't think that just because you have the provision and the protection, you're walking with God. You have His presence. Oh yes, you're on the way to heaven. But perhaps you're traveling second class this morning. The Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 33, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. Is God real to you today? Are you enjoying the presence of God? Or are you just fulfilling your duty, sitting in church on the Lord's Day morning, listening to a sermon, yet frankly and honestly today, you're not enjoying the presence of God? What made Israel different from the other nations round about? It was the manifest presence of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. And I wonder, are there some of you who once knew the glory of God in your life, but that glory has departed from your life? What caused God to withdraw His manifest presence from His people? Well, I want to mention four things that will rob you of God's manifest presence in your life this morning. First of all, there is direct disobedience. They disobeyed the Lord, going back to chapter 32, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, thy people. That's what God calls them here to Moses. And because they disobeyed God, the manifest presence of God was withdrawn from them. And maybe someone here or listening to this service today, you professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not enjoying in your life the presence of God. You don't even have in your heart this morning the assurance of salvation. Maybe you're saying even this morning, preacher, can you help me? For I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, I cannot tell you whether you're saved or not, but the person who can is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God who gives to each one of us the assurance of salvation. For example, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. And the Apostle John said there, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, in and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. How do we know that we belong to Him? The Holy Spirit bears witness. Again, a companion verse would be Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now these two verses and many more that we could cite this morning make it crystal clear that it is the work of the Holy Spirit to give us that assurance that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, What does that have to do with the manifest presence of God? What does it have to do with disobedience? The disobedience you've just read about. Well, simply this. When we knowingly and willingly, with eyes wide open, disobey God, you know what you do to the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason the Bible says that we're not to give place to the devil. We're not to grieve the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you know that you can only grieve someone who loves you? Oh, the neighbor's kids may vex you, but your own children grieve you. What's the difference? That word grieve, you see, is a love word. The Holy Spirit of God loves you, but you can so grieve Him when you disobey the commandments of God that the Spirit of God just closes up. The Spirit of God is grieved. Have you been grieving the Holy Spirit? Bible again says, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. That word quench means to pour cold water on a fire. You see, the Holy Spirit is like a gentle dove, like a glowing ember. You can frighten away that dove. You can pour water on that ember. You can quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. But the Bible also says, as we've said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, or quench not the Spirit. Listen, I want to ask you this morning, who gives you the assurance of your salvation? The Holy Spirit of God. That's the answer. Who is it that manifests the life of God in you? The Holy Spirit of God is in you. Just what the pillar of cloud was to those people in their day. He's the Shekinah glory of God. The manifest presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the manifest presence of God in your life. In my life this morning. And listen, if you willfully and knowingly and deliberately disobey God and grieve the Holy Spirit of God and quench the Spirit, when you do, God ceases to be real to you. Do you even wonder that you would even say, am I saved? I've met people who doubt their salvation, that I believe are truly saved, but they're living lives in direct disobedience to God. And as a result of that, they do not have the manifest presence of God. Let's look for a moment at the 14th chapter of John, the Gospel of John. Verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is one of the key verses in regard to enjoying the presence of God. Listen to these words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And when people truly love God, you just don't see it merely when they stand in the congregation and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but they obey the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Watch this, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Notice the words carefully. Aren't we talking here about the manifest presence of God? And God, in His Word, links the manifest presence of God with keeping the commandments of God. Because when we disobey God, we grieve the Spirit, we quench the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us to make God real to us. And when we do that, we might have eternal security. We might go to heaven. God may send an angel to escort us to heaven, as He suggested here to the people. of God in Moses' time. But would you settle for that rather than have the manifest presence of God? And sadly, many Christians today are. A man came and talked on one occasion with his pastor. And he said, "Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with me, but God isn't real to me anymore. I don't have any joy. The presence of God is not real in my heart like it used to be." The pastor asked him a direct question. "Is there any known sin in your life? Any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life?" And then a man honestly said, "Well, Pastor, let me tell you something. I used to bring my tithe, the tithe of my income, to God. I believe the word of God that says, 'Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.' But some time ago I got the idea that perhaps God didn't need that money as much as I needed it. And I've ceased to be honest with God." And the pastor told him honestly that he was stealing from God. Malachi chapter 3 speaks about robbing God of his tithes and offerings, willingly disobeying the Lord. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Willing disobedience or direct disobedience to God. Ask yourself the question this morning: is God real to me? Have you rejected a direct command of God, whatever that command is? Are you living in disobedience to God? Well, may God help you to address that this morning. Direct disobedience. Secondly, divided devotion. The Bible tells us in chapter 32 and verse 4 of Exodus, "And he received them at their hand and fashioned it." This is Aaron. The golden calf with the graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel." What had these people done? They had divided devotion. They claimed to be Israel. Israel means the people of God. And yet they made this golden calf. They made for themselves a god that was no bigger than their imaginations. And rather than trusting an almighty God, they began to trust the work of their own hands. They were given over to idolatry. And of course, you understand, the first man molds the idol, and then the idol molds the man. What is an idol? Of course, it is that which is put in the place of God in our lives. And here's this golden calf that was reared up by the children of Israel. They began to love this more than God. And maybe there's something in your life today that you love more than God. Maybe there's something that you fear more than God. Maybe there's someone or something that you're serving more than God, or trusting more than God. When we cease to worship a true God, it is not that we worship nothing, it is that we worship anything. Is that true of you? God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Divided devotion. And then I want you to see, thirdly, displaced dependence. Verses 7 and 8 of the passage. You'll notice here, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And of course, if you go back there to the 32nd chapter, you will read what it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Get thee down,'" verse 7, "'for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped, have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" They began to put their dependence in the work of their own hands. their ugly god that they had made with their own hands, the golden calf. Now no longer was their dependence upon God who had brought them through the Red Sea. Do you know what happens when we do that? When God gives us a victory, and you give the glory to something else or someone else, you depend upon that rather than the God who has given you the victory. You're going to lose the presence of God. And the moment we begin to depend upon our own ingenuity and our own wit or our own wisdom, and we say, look what we have done, God says, all right now, I'm out of the equation here. You don't enjoy my presence anymore. That's what happened to Israel. You see, they took the earrings out of their ears and they took the bracelets off their hands, and with a graving tool they made a god. And then they said, that's our god. That's who's delivering us. And God says, all right, I'm not going with you anymore. I remember years ago when we were in a quandary, not knowing what to do about the building of this house here and a hall and what we would do with the church here. We met and we prayed. And then God made a way for us. God did it. Never let you say Alan Smiley did it or the church committee did it. God did it. And when the bullets were flying in our cities and towns and villages, in our rural communities too, and bombs were destroying our businesses and blowing up people, our churches were full and our prayer meetings too, and we cried out to God for help. And God helped us. Is it not so today our prayer meetings are empty? Or not as full as they should be? We've lost the presence of God. We must give glory to God for what He has done. It was not that political agreement or another that brought it about. It was God. And yet we appeal to continue to follow God, to love God, and to serve Him as we should. And our land has gone down the tubes, as it were. Rottenness and filth, rejection of God's word on every side. We've made a golden calf like the Israelites did here. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, we've brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Verse 4, chapter 32. They failed to give God the glory. Listen, friends, this morning God says, I will not share my glory with another. And when God gives you a blessing, and when God is good to you, and God brings you through the storm, then you have that displaced dependence. You begin to give credit where credit is not due. And honor where honor is not due. And you fail to give God the glory. Is it any wonder that God's presence is not real in your life? But then there's a final thing here. There's determined defiance. Chapter 32, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. What does it mean, stiff-necked? It's the opposite of being meek and pliable. God wanting to lead them, but they were like a horse with a stiff neck who rears up, who will not yield. I remember years ago, out in the country with some relatives, they had a horse, of course, a little lad as I was then, wanting to get on the horse and ride the horse, but the horse was a stiff-necked horse. And of course, it was rearing up, wasn't going anywhere. And I was getting off as soon as I could. You want God to be real to you. Don't be stiff-necked. If God gives you a specific word, God speaks to you about what He wants you to do, then obey Him. Has God told you to speak to someone, to witness to somebody about the Lord? Has God been laying somebody on your heart and you're not witnessing to that person? No wonder God is not real to you. Has God been putting some burden in your heart to serve in this church, to do something that you could do for the Lord, even in the autumn or winter, in the days ahead in this congregation? Has God been speaking to you about giving some money or sacrificially giving to God in some way to the glory of His name? Has God been speaking to your heart about somebody you may need to make things right with that you've wronged, or an issue that you have with someone? Has God been telling you there's a relationship you need to break off? It's a wrong relationship. You need to get out of it now. Has God been calling you to do something, to go somewhere, to give something? You've said no. You have a stiff neck. And then you say, I wonder why God isn't real to me. I wonder why God says, I'm not in the midst of you. Thank God Moses had enough sense to say, as we read down the passage there, chapter 33, as we read this morning, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not hence. Verse 15. What is worship? Singing songs. Of course, we enjoy singing the praises of God, saying our prayers. And it's very important that we engage in prayer, coming to church, giving money. No, my friend, essentially, at the very heart of true worship is enjoying the presence of God. Is God real to you this morning? Is God as real to you today as He was the day you were saved? He wants to be real in your life and mine. He wants to manifest His presence, His glory, in this very place, in your home, in your life. Let's turn back again to John 14, verse 21. Read again these words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Are you saying, Lord, manifest yourself to me? Are we saying as a body of God's people this morning, manifest yourself to us, be real to us? May that be so. And if you're not saved this morning, you don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You're still on that broad and crowded road to a lost eternity. Let me introduce you to my Savior this morning. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Come to Christ, and assuredly, undoubtedly, clearly, emphatically, powerfully, personally, you will know the presence of God. The Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the holy truth of Thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn 441 in the book on the screen. Hold thou my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Saviour, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid. We stand after the introduction and worship the Lord in singing this hymn.
Thank you.
for listening to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church this morning. If we can be of help to you, do please make contact with us. May God bless you even this morning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. Loving, gracious Father, we come now to Thee and to the preaching of Thy Word. We pray that Thou